KCHCYB, mobiling around here in the big city of Columbus, Ohio.
CHZYB, KN4CHY. That's going up. Name here is Keith, by the way. Kilo Echo, India Tango Hotel.
You know what, Keith? I think I may have talked to you once or twice when I was still living in Greenville on one of the nets in the evening time, possibly. I don't know if you ever were involved with any of those in the evening time, but your calling name sounds familiar, man. I know that I would join the swapping shop net all the time. Matter of fact, I ended up getting some equipment. Well, actually, I got some equipment for a buddy of mine, a new ham, last year, off a guy that was on the swapping shop net. Yeah, right, right. So what has happened to the repeater down there? I remember when I was still in the area that was like a high-profile system, it seemed like. Like it was up above 3,000 feet elevation or something like that?
Sorry about that. Choked on the last bit of my sandwich. they're not real sure. They are working on it, though. They've got a new antenna and supposed to be stringing new coax up the tower, and it seems like it's been a degrading situation here over the last few months, but they are in the works of getting it going and trying to get it fixed, but it'll take a little time to do it, over.
Yeah, right, man, I know. It's definitely not cheap trying to maintain these things and then trying to find somebody that's willing to climb the towers and all that. So, yeah, I understand that, man. I tell you what, I absolutely loved the hobby down there in the Greenville area. I mean, I had so much fun down there because up here in Ohio, man, there's hardly any activity at all. I mean, when I was down there, there was always someone on the radio. And complex, 4,000 or 5,000 feet elevation. And he said I was coming through like I was sitting in a cab there with him. I mean, it was just phenomenal, you know.
CHZYB, KN4CHY, yep. I pretty much park it here most of the time because of just what you said. There's usually a lot of activity on it. We've got a robust morning crowd and people all through the day. And then, of course, the ongoing net every day and every night at night. In fact, I was down in Savannah this past weekend. Choking on the remnants of the sandwich. Down in Savannah last weekend. I just purchased a new Anytone 878, one of the UV2 Plus or whatever it is, and I programmed a couple of repeaters down there through the front panel, and I think I heard two people throw out their call sign, and I couldn't get back to either one of them at the time, so never even had a QSO down there, and think there'd be a lot more activity in a town that size.
Well, I tell you, when I lived in Savannah for 1 year before I moved out to Hilton Head. When I started at Gulfstream, I got two promotions inside of 6 months. And once I got those promotions, I moved out to the island. But when I was living in Savannah, there was a lot of activity on one of their high-profile 440 systems that I talked on all the time. Now, for the life of me, I can't remember which one it was, but I was actually able to hit that 440 system from the beach in Hilton Head. From the beach, though. I had to be out in the open on the beach, and I could hit it full scale from Hilton Head. So there used to be at least a lot of drive time activity in the morning and in the early evening, but who knows what's happened, man. It seems like it's died in a lot of major cities. That's why it really surprised me when I got to Greenville how busy it was there. And not just on one repeater. it seems like you throw your call out on several of them that area, and somebody's always coming back to you. KUCHZYB Mobile.
Roger, I had a couple of VHF repeaters down there. I didn't try any UHF. I was thinking VHF because I'd be able to get farther out. But there's one of the clubs there has a tower on Victory Drive, and one is on the, I guess it's the Talmadge Bridge, whatever the new bridge is they're calling it now. I could actually key up that one from Southside, from Winter Forest. I never could get anybody to come back to me, so I don't know how clear I was on it. But that's a pretty good haul from the south side of Savannah over to the bridge. Over.
Oh, yeah, it sure is. Man, Victory Drive. Lord have mercy, man. I haven't heard the name of that road in a long time. I used to take Victory Drive all the way out to Tybee Island. Isn't that State Route 80? Isn't that what Victory Drive is? It turns into State Route 80, if I remember correctly. If it doesn't, I know Victory Drive will take you all the way to Tybee Island anyway.
I believe it is 80. But yeah, Victory Drive is definitely the one that takes you out there. That's the only way out there. And usually, I mean, back when I was working at Gulfstream, I'd go out to the beach after work. I worked second shift all those years, and I'd go out to the beach after work and catch some live music, go walk on the beach for a little while and head back to the house. But usually if we were going to the beach, we went over to your area to Hilton Head, over.
I tell you, man, I would say at some point I'll be back down there. Possibly in the next year or so. This nerve disease I deal with is horrible up here in the wintertime. It just magnifies it by 10, 20 times up here in this cold weather. The only reason I came home is I've got a twin brother that's not doing so well, or I never would have left the island. I mean, I absolutely loved it there. I was on that island for almost 10 years. And I just love, you know, the Savannah Hilton Head area. There's so much to do. There's so much history there. But if everything works out right, I will be back down there. There's a place on Tybee Island, because it's just me. I don't have any kids. Don't have a woman or nothing. And there's a place right on Tybee Island, 500 feet from the beach, called the Carbo House. And they rent out one-bedroom and studio apartments. And it's, like I said, it's 500 feet from the beach. So that's where I'm probably going to live more likely when I get back down that way.
I'm familiar with that place, but, yeah, not surprised. I'd run out there, like I said, back when I was a single man, and go out there and have a few beers and listen to some live music, come back to the house and get some sleep and get ready for the next day. But, yeah, like I said, usually when we went to the beach, we go over to Hilton Head. Right, a lot of history in that area, a lot of things to do. I try to stay away from Savannah as much as possible because of the traffic. It's gotten worse over the last few years. Mom still lives there, so obviously we were down there last weekend for Mother's Day, so visiting with her, and just made a quick trip of it down there and back. But yeah, kind of miss it down there until I get down there and get in the traffic, and then I don't miss it at all. Over.
I hear you. Where I used to live, I can't remember the crossing. The name of the road had crossing in it. I was right on the corner of Abercorn. I can't remember what the crossroad is, but I was only about a mile or so from the Abercorn Mall on Abercorn Street or whatever that is, and I used to hate trying to get out onto the main road off of Abercorn. I mean, it just sucked. That traffic is definitely horrible, man. There's no doubt about it. Especially that area I live. Montgomery Crossroads, that was it. I was on the corner of Abercorn and Montgomery Crossroads at the apartment I was in at the time. And it was just complete crap trying to get in and out of that traffic.
Crossroads, and I'm pretty sure I know the exact apartment complex you're talking about. It's over on the left. stopped not far after you turned down Montgomery Crossroads. I had a old girlfriend that lived over in those apartments at one time. So, yep, I know right where you're talking about. And back before we moved, we lived on, well, for a while, I was down at this, at the, in the middle ground. If you keep going down Montgomery and go by the base, and you hit that curve that turns in the middle ground road, and I was down at the other end, at, back in Abercorn on the other end of middle ground road. Over.
Yeah, I know all about middle ground. I think, if I remember correctly, you could take middle ground all the way out of town. Man, I think I vaguely remember water possibly running on both sides of the road going down middle ground. Man, I could be wrong. But I think the name of that apartment complex, if I remember, was Magnolia Villas. Does that ring a bell? I think that's where I live. I think that was the name of the place I lived out there.
But it's been way too many years ago for me. But yeah, and then before we moved, we lived out Quaco Road off of Tennessee. I lived in Savannah, but after I got laid off from Gulfstream, I got a job as a defense contractor over in Hardyville, South Carolina. So I would take the back roads through Pooler and hit the interstate and cross the border and get back off the interstate. You don't want to do that anymore the way Pooler's grown. I don't know if you've been down around that area lately, but man, this Pooler has exploded over.
Yeah, I used to go into Pooler a lot on my lunch breaks and stuff over at Gulfstream. Yeah, I knew it was starting to get pretty congested over there. Man, Hardyville, I think you said Hardyville. I know about Hardyville, too. I think you're talking about, isn't that town like, I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour from Hilton Head Island or something?
Probably not quite that far. Again, it's been so many years, I don't remember. But yeah, Hardyville, you cross the border, and it was basically the first town right there on the interstate. And then you could go through Hardyville and through Bluffton and out that way to get to Hilton Head. Yeah, it was probably at least 30 minutes anyway.
Tell you what I thought was so funny, though, when you're rolling into Hardyville, you know, they put all those palm trees, you know, on both sides of the road, I think it was, going into Hardyville, you know, trying to make Hardyville look like it was some kind of high-end area or something. And the minute you get past them palm trees, you really see what it's all about.
Roger that. Depending on what side of the track you ended up on. I was just amazed when I got that job over there. The place I worked at was on the outskirts of Hardyville, on Jenkins Road, I had no idea there was a defense contractor over there until I landed the job.
Right, right. I tell you, they got some pretty rough motels in that Hardyville. Really rough-looking roadside motels as soon as you roll into that little town. But I do miss it down there, man. I mean, I got to get back down there. My younger brother still lives in Greenville. He lives over on Cartier Avenue. He's still down there. But like I said, you know, we got a twin brother up here. I mean, neither one of us are doing that great, but he's got some really bad, bad issues going on, some liver problems and other things. So it is nice to be back with him, but I'll definitely be back down south at some point, and hopefully sooner than later. But we're listening, Keith. I don't mean to cut the queue so short, my friend, but I'm over here decimated, waiting on a buddy of mine. We're about to get some barbecue for lunch at a local place here called City Barbecue. So we're going to go in here and eat up a bunch of barbecue and put ourselves into a deep food coma, probably. But anyway, buddy, listen, I'll be out of here more now that I know I can get into this on Echolink. I'll definitely be out of here a lot more. So if you're out later on today or on the net this evening, buddy, I'll catch you then.
CHZYB. All right, Jeff. Yep, good talking to you again, and we'll listen for you around. I do a normal 8 to 5. I'm fortunate enough to be able to work from home.
All right, buddy. Yeah, man. Wow, that last transmission got really bad. And hopefully they get that straightened out and get that high profile back up and running the way it was. But all right, my friend. Yeah, I'll definitely be back out here later on, man. We'll catch you then. Try to stay cool, man. I'm sure it's a whole lot hotter down that way than it is up here right now. So we'll catch you later, man. Enjoy the rest of your day. 7-3. This is Kilo Charlie 8 Zulu Yankee Bravo here in Grove 7.
What do you think about Mike Payton's new project?
It's going to be interesting for sure. I'd like to see more doing airplane stuff, but I will definitely look at that too, because if anybody can do what he's talking about doing, it'll be that fellow there. Over.
It's been a while now, and I told you about what it how he's going to build, or he's building that swimming pool. But you see his yellow Jeep in that picture also?
Yeah, and I think I had seen that before, just didn't realize that was one that he built.
That's pretty cool there, to see that six-wheel Jeep and everything. But I thought you might like that, what he's doing. Build that floor and that swimming pool to take the steps. That is going to be cool.
He's got the money to do it too, I guess. Cause that is not going to be a cheap project, that's for sure. Over.
They told him he can't put a swimming pool there, so he's going to put it on top and go all the way to the bottom. That is going to be neat. I guess he got deeper pockets than the swimming pool, I guess.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, that's, I mean, you just look at the house itself and not even thinking about what he's going to do with the pool. You know, it's going to be pretty deep anyway. And I guess it makes sense for the kind of work he does. You know, with the rescue squads and all, they talked about they can do dive practice and stuff like that in it too. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, that's for sure.
Like I say, I seen that the other week, and I said I got to tell Keith about that. And yeah, he got old Scrappy tore down. He's going put turbos on that thing now.
And he was talking about another project too, and I wonder if it's that other Wilga, because you know he showed the Wilga when he first bought the new one, or new to him one, and the white one, and figured that's going to end up being Draco X, and he's kind of referred to another project he's working on, but he's not really showed anything about it. I guess he's building up footage and getting it to a point where he'd start putting out videos or something. Over.
I know he's in there and said that he's going to build another Draco, and I figured that's what he's going to do also.
Shape as that new one that he bought is in. I kind of hate to see him tear into it, but then again, I know whatever he comes up with is going to be pretty awesome too. But Those things are hard to come by anymore. He had a heck of a time finding that one. He did find it, and now he's gonna basically modify the you know what out of it, I guess, old.
4-H-Y-T, yeah. I thought they started making them things again. I thought I heard him say they started making them again. I guess they quit again, I guess. I can't remember there.
Not real sure. Maybe they did. Weren't they built over in like one of the Eastern Bloc countries or something?
Yeah, they was built over there. And because I know whenever he bought that other one or the new one, he said they started making them again. But I could be wrong. I'm known to be wrong one or two times.
For HYC, KN4CHY, yeah, I heard that. I've been wrong probably more than a few times, but you know. I must have glazed over that when he said that's pretty neat. I'll have to look into that and see if they're back to building them again. Yeah, it seemed like there was something special about that one that he bought, that it was like the first of one of the new variants they did back in the day or something like that. He was able to get a hold of it again. But yeah, I'd almost be willing to bet that's what the other project is that he's doing that he's not giving you any hints about yet.
Hey, I seen him, well, him and what is it, Heavy Parts or what's there? They went out on a rescue thing there. It was sad to see, but he did a video on going to getting a camper and a car and everything.
Hadn't watched anything out of him last few weeks or so. I need to get in there and catch up again. Yeah, that's pretty awesome, the work that he does doing that stuff. And I know I've seen one before where he was talking about going out and finding somebody. And it seems like more often than not, it ends up being a sad story. But every now and then they get a happy ending to it. Yeah, it's good that he does that kind of work, and he, you know, like everything, he thoroughly enjoys it and puts it all into it. So, as he will do.
He's got the passion for it and the drive for it and everything. I heard you in there. I just wanted to see what you thought about the swimming pool he's going to build, I'll catch up with you later on, man. KN4CHY, KJ4HYC.
Hey, yeah, good talking to you. I hadn't heard again, and I guess since I watched the video. Yeah, I thought about reaching out to you, but I don't know how often you're around. Anyway, have a good afternoon, and good to talk to you. And around here again, I'm sure. KJ4HYC,
KJ4HYC.
I'll be clear to listen.
HYC, KI4LZ,
I'm mobile. Yeah, go ahead there, Andy, KJ4HYC.
This repeater up here, I don't have any trouble getting into. And I'm on the mobile now, but still, I don't have any trouble at the house getting into it. I can get into it with an HT and a half a watt, kind of like you are with Jack's repeaters.
Yeah, I'm just right down there. Well, if I look out my back window, I can see Jack's repeater.
I know sometimes you can and sometimes you can't get into that. That's kind of like I am with his. And that full body repeater he's got, it ain't gonna happen for my location at all. The 2 meter, it's 50-50, but full body, it won't happen.
Yep. I know the, let's see, there's, what is it, the 2 meter, the 170? I don't think anybody uses that.
You know, where I'm at, I live at, that's really the only one that I gotta have a chance with. Why other people don't use it either, I don't know. I know it's not up as high, but as crazy as propagation is, that's the one I can get into, but the full body, it just won't happen, not with just 35 watts.
I think he said it put out 20 watts. I think that's what Jack said there.
On the fixed station on UHF, just 35 watts. I've tried it years ago. It's never been reliable, and even the 2 meters, like I said, it's 50-50. And as we're getting out with the leaves on the trees now again and going toward the heart of summer, I'll be having trouble getting into the 2 meter now.
We're on the 04, the 442, 775. During the summer, I have a little trouble getting in the air. The 290, it's on Long Mountain, and 030's on Long Mountain also.
It's 8900 at the house, but 2 meters 50 watts and UHF 35, but it's, for my location, it's a devil to get into any of the 6 Mile Mountain stuff, but this stuff up here that we're on now, I have no problems at all with, and that's why I'm usually on these here most of the time.
Well, I see. Yeah, they... Well, you're down in the hole a little bit, too, ain't you?
Deep hole. I don't... You know, if I had a 1,000-foot tire up there, it wouldn't clear all the hills. It's about a half mile down below Lake Illinois in a very, as Jack would say, a deep canyon. That's how Jack worded it.
Jack, you come up with something more. Okay, I know he said you was down in the valley there, but I didn't know he was talking about the Grand Canyon there.
My place a few times when he was able to drive in a little better health. And he sees what I've done. It's almost a... UHF is about an impossibility up there unless it's something off Caesar's Head or Glassy Mountain. And at one time there used to be a UHF on Sassafras, but it's not there anymore. 2 meters I do a little bit better with, but even on 2 meters, you know, I'm back to that point now where I ain't gonna be able to do 2 meters, a 2 meter machine on Glassy. I mean Glassy, but 6 Mile Mountain much longer. Cause the leaves are almost fully out now, just about.
Now on Glassy Mountain there, you do got a DMR, right?
Mobile Friday. Yeah, our folks got a DMR repeater up there. Sure does. We got a DMR up there. I don't know how, well, like I said, on Glassy and Caesar's Head is the only UHF I have any hope of, but yeah, I can get into the DMR with an HT from mine. I can.
Friday. Okay, we'll have to try that one day. Get on the glassing repeater there. Try that out there, because they say either you into the machine or you ain't on DMR.
Like on commercial television today, it's digital. You either have it or you don't have it. Much to my surprise, with an HT, I do fairly good with that. But it's like we were saying before, you got the way these DMR radios are, you got to have code plugs and you got to have everything just right to make it work.
I got mine working. I program mine by the pace of the radio. I got it to work, and then I hadn't put the picking repeater in there yet. I don't know if I could. I'm gonna have to do that to see if I can hit the machine. I know I can hit the Long Mountain machine.
As far as Long Mountain goes, I gotta be on my fixed station antenna. Even for 2 meters. To get into 290, I got to be on my fixed station antenna. I tried it one time up there with an HT, and no one can hear me with just a rubber duck from my location into the 290 machine.
I took an, I work better on the 775 machine than I do the 290. I guess it's because the way the antenna is oriented and everything, or loops and everything on the antenna.
Me, I just said it's, as far as UHF, it's either Seton's Head or Glass Mountain as far as UHF goes from my location. Especially with an HT, it just ain't going to do it. And they, like this one here, and Glassy Mountain, and Sassafras Mountain, I'm talking about 2 meters right now, because there's no longer a 440 on Sassafras anymore, so, because it was moved to somewhere above north of Traveler's Rest over there some years back, and I can't even get it from the house now. But as far as 2 meters goes, at Sassafras Mountain, with an HT, that is, Sassafras Mountain, Glassy Mountain, or Caesar's Head.
You got a way to get 220? I know, because have you tried the 220 machine on Glassy Mountain?
Problem. Yeah, I got an old IC-38A and a Ringo up on top of the house, and yes, I can do just fine with that.
Because the other day I heard somebody on there. I can't remember who I heard on there. And I just sat there and listened. It's been a while since I heard anybody on 220.
I had on there at 8 o'clock on Monday on 224.4. That's when you need to be listening there at the time. There's a small net there that our group over here does on there on Monday night.
Monday night at what time? Over 400 machines.
2244.
Make sure I got that in there. In my other radio here.
Transceiver I got is that IC-38A. And a Ringo on top of the house. And as I was informed yesterday, I got to do something about some vine getting on my coax cable here in the near future. Oh, it drags the coax down, as someone informed me yesterday. But that's the only transceiver I got for that band, even though I got two or three scanners that'll receive it.
Great, well, I see. Yeah, I was thinking about getting me a tri-band antenna, a space antenna, to go outside there. Because I got a 220 mobile and I got a got a tri-band handheld also, so that's what I was going to come up with there.
What I did to do, get your tri-band, there's also of them, though I don't think they have a net on it, but I can't get into it reliably from my location with no more than 25 watts either, but they got a 224-440 over at Spartanburg. That repeater's over there. And of course, there's the 224-32. It's up there on Sassafras, but there's no net on it that I know of, or very little activity. And of course, Mandel's also got a 224-14 up on Caesar's Head, but he's usually got it in the more length of 442-400.
Oh, I programmed.
Another repeaters on that band, but from where I'm at, you know, I can't really hear them or do anything with them, and I don't remember their frequency for certain because I can't hear them at the house. There's one up on Mount Pisgah and up on Mount Mitchell, but being that I can't hear them at the house, I really don't remember what their frequency is.
If I ain't mistaken, didn't 6 mile repeater or 6 mile have a 220 up on it at one time?
But Jack has no interest in that band, and when Rich Tillotson died, that repeater died.
I thought I talked on it one or two times back in the day. I just wondered what happened to it. So, there was another one up there. What was it? 147-100 machine, if I'm thinking right.
Well, Hills Club had a 146-700 up there, and that used to be over here in Pickens County where we're at, the Aries group, but that group is pretty much disintegrated, and our group now is the combination of both Racy's and Aries today. Our group back here at the OC is. That repeated Foothills group has is, let's see, I don't remember his call sign. Wes is call sign, but he's got it, and it's been off there for 5 or 6 years, but if he'll let out, I don't know if he's ever going to put it back up there or not. That group is pretty much gone now.
One day I was checking and I was trying to figure out what happened to it.
I don't know what happened to it, but I know it's been off the air for about 5 or 6 years. Will it ever be back? I have no idea.
Yeah, they say I'm going to try to get me a tri-bander, and that way I got all that covered there. I got a dual band, and I got a tri-band mobile antenna, but I want a base station antenna so I can have it covered.
I don't know why, but I know at one time back years ago when that 224-1 that was on 6 Mile Mountain was there, Jack had an HT for that band, but, you know, it's his concern, but he just don't have the interest in that band like Rich Tillotson had, and when Rich died, it died.
I guess you can hear the radio station. just on top of the mountain now. Can you hear that low power station from where you at?
I know it's there, but from where I live, not a peep. Can't hear anything out of from where I live, no.
I'm right up under. I'm right up under all them repeaters there, so of course you know I can.
In here with me, and this car starts getting kind of warm. Sitting in here with the engine running, building the battery back up. So I'll be back out here at some point. Use always am on the first Tuesday of the month in the evening out here where I can access the 6 mile repeaters real good. And we'll talk then. KJ4HYC, KI4LZI Mobile.
Have a good one, and you be careful out there. KL4LTI, KJ4A5, clear. BC. B2C.
I heard you, Andy, talking about the 6 mile machine. Can you hit it from your location?
Yeah, I'm... Well, if I look at the back door, I can see the repeater.
7, is that the one you're talking about?
7 and 041-800.
Who knows, 17, I could access it. I'm here in Anderson, I can access it okay, but I can't tell if I'm getting into it very good. Would you mind moving up there and see if you can give me an idea of what my signal is like?
That way. I can go right there now. KJ48 USY.
And 4DJC, QSY.
W4CTW. Tyler, how you doing today?
It's rain today. How do you do?
Not too bad. I'm just working my way back from Greenville all the way back to Greenville right now.
My apologies. I forget your first name.
T-Y-L-E-R.
This is Kurt, Kilo Oscar 4, Romeo Mike. Mike, I'm headed southbound on Lawrence Road en route to Millennium to go see the doc.
Didn't miss you by much. I was just on Lawrence Road a few minutes ago, down there on the lower end, kind of towards Stone Avenue.
Understood. We have a lovely day today.
I'll let you go then, and I'll still be here monitoring W4CTW.
A good 5 or 10 minutes left. I'm not nearly there yet, so if you want to continue to chat a little bit, I'm good with it.
I'm signing off there. Misunderstanding. What have you been up to radio-wise here lately?
A lot of studying to do. I've got a couple of periodicals and catalogs to read. I've got a new periodical just the other day. Basically, forget what the title of it is, but it's chock full of all radio equipment and radios and cables and grounding equipment and you name it, it's in there.
I hope you're learning some good stuff from all that material. I myself, I've been trying to get my mobile setup going. I got a hard case from like a knockoff Pelican from Harbor Freight, and I'm getting my spare HF rig set up in that, and I'm working on building a vertical, like a quarter wave vertical, and an in-fed to use with it mobile. I'd say I'm probably maybe about halfway through the process. It's turning out good so far.
Excellent. I've got an antenna project I might need a little help on from somebody. I've got a couple of copper J-poles. One, there's a little redundancy in there. I bought a full-size dual band, 2 meter, 70 centimeter J-pole, and I also have a Slim Jim copper J-pole I want to mount on my chimney. I've got all the equipment. All I need to do is get up on the roof and drill some holes and mount them. But I will need to establish a base station of some sort, as well as a power supply, and get things properly grounded. So that's my project in a nutshell, KO4RMM.
Project I've got, I opted for with the base station. I've got a J-pole as well for my base station antenna on 2 meters. And I opted to kind of build a mast instead of mounting it directly to the house, and kind of made grounding a little bit easier because the mast is mounted directly into the ground, and you can have the ground rods and everything coming right off of that rather than having to run a ground wire laying on the roof, which isn't necessarily a problem by itself. I just I liked having the ground path as short as possible, and having it on a mast mount was a little bit better than that. The good thing with those J-poles is that they're so light you can mount them just about any way you want to.
Yep, confirm that for sure. They said that the antenna, the J-pole itself, as it came, the brochure, I believe if I understood correctly, said it was self-grounding for the J-pole. And it worked. I didn't do any grounding work for it. I have it set up already in the backyard. It's just not a permanent setup. So I just want to get higher by mounting it on a chimney, and I'm going to follow suit like you did with the mast. I'm going to put a mast up there off of the chimney and then mount the J-pole on the mast to give it extra height. But I do have an 8-foot copper rod that I did get pounded into the ground, and a smaller gauge copper, solid copper wire. I just need probably some advice and consultancy on the exact procedures and the ins and outs of getting the base station grounded.
More concerned about RF grounding, or are you more concerned about like a safety ground for lightning protection, that type of thing? Lightning protection, you're really going to want if you don't have access to the ground rod for your building, so wherever your service entrance is, where your meter is, that's likely where your ground rods are driven. If your shack or wherever your antenna is not easily accessible to that, you're probably going to want to run some new ground rods in that location, and you're going to have to tie them back and bond them with the house ground rods.
That's the science and the expertise I'm going to need assistance with.
If you're able to, are you able to mount that J-pole kind of more towards where the service entrance to your house is?
Not without a tower that put in that location. It's really eyeing the chimney because it gives me the optimal height without having to purchase and install a tower. I'm not above getting a tower. It's just I was just eyeing my chimney. It gets me a good 30 or 40 feet AGL.
You're going to be running, if you're mounting it up there, you're going to have a ground wire running down either way. It just depends on whether you're running just straight down to the side of the house or you have to run across the roof a ways and down. Straight down would be ideal. It's the same way you would be grounding like a satellite dish or anything else like that you'd mount on the roof. So as long as you're not having to run horizontally across the house and then down, you may be okay. You just kind of have to look at it in person and see what it looks like. You just have to kind of make an assessment of what your shortest route is.
You're right. That might chimney is centrally located on the ridge of the roof, so the chimney may be disqualified now at this point. So I might just start having to research other ways to get height and proximity for the J-pole.
Repeaters, are you trying to do some simplex too?
Like I said, I'm going to go after both.
The simplex, you know, the height is might, so the higher you can get it, the better. With a lot of the repeaters, as long as you're, I mean, you'll hit more repeaters the higher it is, but if there's a number of them you use readily and you're able to hit them from, you know, an HT or something like that, even getting 10, 15, 20 feet up is going to be like night and day. You're going to be able to hit those just fine with that.
Yeah, for just proof of concept, when I received the antenna, I went ahead and mounted it on top of a freestanding swing set in my backyard. I'm surrounded by old growth trees, and then my house is on the western side of it, and it's surrounded north and south on by old growth trees. So I was concerned about those things as an obstruction, but nevertheless, I was able to get good repeater coverage by running, you know, just running a handheld with a coax to the J pole. But I had always had the intent of getting the J pole up higher.
On mine, and that mast I was telling you about is made of three pieces of aluminum heavy wall conduit. And if you take a piece of heavy wall conduit that's 1.25 inches, a piece of thin wall conduit that's 1 inch will slow almost perfectly. So you've got three pieces of heavy wall conduit that gets me up about 30 feet. And then the thin wall, I have a piece that slides in that overlaps about 2 foot on either side, and it's secured in with self-tapping screws to hold each segment together. And I have it on a pivot on the bottom that's made out of Unistrut, so you can raise and lower it. I have a little hand winch that I got from Harbor Freight.
That sounds pretty advanced. I'm probably not as technically inclined as you are, but I guess with a drawing or something and a visit to Harbor Freight, I might be able to, you know, get something along those lines established.
The mast itself really is just kind of like piecing together three pieces of pipe. And I added the winch later. I used to raise it and lower it just by walking it up by hand. And as far as the pivot is concerned, it's really just a piece of metal in the ground with a hole drilled through it on either side of the pipe, so it just gets something with a bolt that holds it, so you can just kind of have something to push it against when you're pushing it up. It's basically just turning three pieces of pipe into one long piece.
And you've got it linchpinned into a hinge base, and then a hand crank winch.
Eye bolt right through the center about halfway up as the pivot point for the, you know, where the winch attaches, and it just lets you crank it up slowly instead of having to walk it up. It's a little safer because it can't fall down on you if you slip.
Appreciate that, Tyler. I'm destinated presently right now, so I'm going to be 73 and clear. I've enjoyed this, and I appreciate your input there. It gives me some good ideas and maybe a fresh approach to a successful completion of this project. KO4 RMM, I'll be 73 and clear on your final, sir.
Good talking to you, and if you look, if you want to know, my email address is up to date on QRZ, so if you want to know any more about it, you want me to send you pictures of what I got, or want any more help with it, just send me an email or something, or if you get me back on here, I'd be glad to tell you more about it. But you have a good one, and I'll talk to you later. This is W4CTW, and I'll be clear.
Copy you clear, W4CTW. I think I may just take you up on that. Thanks very much, and good day to you.
4CTW, KJ4H5C. 4CTW, KJ4H5C.